previously on Destroy the Files.
So what do you want to say before we get started the podcast that's really controversial that you wouldn't want people to hear?
Yeah, I sure am glad I'm Dave Chappelle right now. Right?
Well, you know.
You think? There's some hugging involved, right? You just hug them till they stop?
That's right. Hug them till they stop. Say some more stuff that I can take out of context. Well, if you're not going to play ball, we might as well start. Oh, wait, were you going to say something?
Would really, really like to be an oligarch. If anyone could, like, lead me to where I sign up for that, I think I'd be really good at it.
And now,
cue the guitar, Gunther. Hello, and welcome to your new 31st favorite podcast. Right behind Screeching Animals Weekly, it's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent. This is a podcast we should probably just destroy the files of immediately after we record it, and where the only limit is your imagination, Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate, writer, editor, frontrunner for Lizard Overlord.
And I'm Brent, occasional author, beer enjoyer, master of the squanch. If you were at work, a child at work, a crooked legislator, someone who hates frogs, a ghost from another planet, or my own dear sweet mother, we highly recommend that you listen to something that is not this highly entertaining and informative podcast. Oh, that's we could stop right there, but I guess we'll keep going. Oh,
just destroy things.
Yeah.
Oh, like, files. I meant files, not things.
I think, you know, files are things. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Kenny the Fed. Do you need cream applied to your weird hobbit feet or under your back folds? Does your pillow need the sweat and oil squeezed out of it? You need Kenny the Fed. Fly, Kenny, fly.
Welcome, Kenny.
Yeah.
How you been, Brent? What's going on with you?
I've been pretty good. You know, aside from the constant rage boiling just below the surface. On our last episode, not the ones that we deleted, but the last one we posted. We do record a lot of these and then delete them right away. People don't realize just how many. So I had talked about why my friend Nate should grow a mustache. And he immediately sent me a picture of himself with not only a mustache, but a full beard. It's like, whoa. When did this happen? You old son of... No, I think it was real.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, he's on his way. And it got me thinking about something else that Nate should have going for him. So I just wanted to really quick talk about five reasons why Nate should buy himself a katana, a sweet ninja sword.
Oh. I thought it was going to be hair related.
Number five I have on here is shaving. He can literally shave his entire body in four quick swipes of that razor sharp blade. I'll accept the sweet beard mustache area, of course, just zip 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 zip, smooth as silk, you know.
Yeah, no more back wool,
right? Like a seal, he could join the swimming team because he'll just glide through the water. And the fourth reason, he could use the katana to perform an emergency appendectomy or C-section on himself or a loved one as needed. Probably not just like a hey, let me get at that appendix, you know, probably emergency only situation. But you know, he'd be able to do that if he had that katana and save lives.
No reason those can't come out early.
That's a good point. And number three, that katana would pair nicely with the sweet battle axe and motorcycle, which he would be purchasing at the same time. So let me just think about how badass you would look, hairless, except the beard, motorcycle, axe, just screaming down the highway, howling. Ah, good old Nate. Number two will be totally badass. I mean, it kind of goes without saying, but nobody can even come close to arguing. And I mean, you can picture it, like I just said. Imagine it like this, though. My buddy Nate, naked as a mole rat, except for his kick-ass beard and mustache, walking away from an explosion in slow motion, a flash of lightning, a glint off the katana blade. Just wow. Wow. Number one, and most importantly, protecting his family. I mean, you got chainsaw killers, Freddy Krueger's, fucking Nazis are back. Bill Cosby's free for some reason. I submit that Nate would be irresponsible not to buy a katana. Today, Nate. I'm talking about now. Get your ass down to Katana Mart today. And protect your family. It's for your family, your kids.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go.
Will it cut steak?
Oh, it'll cut steak. It'll cut hair. It'll cut a three-piece suit.
Right. Go get it. Go get it, Nate.
It'll cut a Nazi leg clean off in one flick of the blade. Ow! Mine leg! So I think we can rely on the fact that Nate will be going as soon as he hears this podcast down to his local Katana Mart and getting himself fixed up with at least one sweet-ass ninja sword.
Right. I think that he might have to protect us from the dangers of the world, too, since we suggested it. So now he's just our bodyguard.
Yeah.
I've always wanted one of those.
You can at least put on some kind of banana hammock, though. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you don't got to put on coveralls if you don't want to, but just cover up a little bit. Pretty please.
So have we been getting any letters in our mail sack lately?
Just one, but it's too upsetting. It's the stuff of nightmares, really. I put out a call on the private group on Facebook, Chuggy's Guzzling Shed. Uh-huh. You couldn't even find it if nobody invited you. I was like,
I've been invited.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen you on there. And I was like, hey, gang, anybody got any questions for this podcast? I got 22 people all sent the same question, worded a little differently, but it was, I don't know if I can get into it right now. It's just very unsettling. I hope they're all in it together, because if they each came to that conclusion on their own, I need to rethink who the kind of people that I associate with. Cause what's been on your mind since last we spoke?
I don't know, Brent. Have you ever thought? It's kind of a thinky thought, but every once in a while, I'll sit around and think, those con artists, how smart are they really? Like, if I really put my mind to it, I could come up with a really good crime. How hard could it be? So I was doing a little research, as one does, because, you got to study up before you attempt the crime of the century. So
get some help from Russia.
Would really, really like to be an oligarch. If anyone could lead me to where I sign up for that, I think I'd be really good at it.
All you need is $600.
I have that.
What?
Oh my God. Thank you, California. Now I can be an oligarch.
Where'd you get $600?
California gave it to me. Oh. I love socialism.
Man.
That's nice.
I'm living in the future. I'm up here in the woods rubbing sticks together waiting for...
Anyway, so I learned about Gregor McGregor. So this fellow claimed that he was the ruler of the Poyais of Central America. Mm. It's a tribal group of people. So this was partially true, because the local leader in that neighborhood told him that he could use a stretch of land they had down there. But old Greg convinced a whole bunch of settlers to pay up and move to the South American utopia, because who doesn't want to go there? He told them the indigenous folks were really nice, and gold was laying around ready to scoop up, and back then gold was it's kind of still worth a lot probably.
And the women never wore shirts, and the men never wore bottoms.
And he said that the resources, like the bananas or whatever South America fruits have, they're all delicious and they're wonderful. And you can spend one day a week going out scooping up all the fruit. And that's all you have to work. You have plenty of food for the rest of the week. One day of work, So one day working, 6 days off. Nice, right? We talk about the four-day work week. They had the one-day work week, and he was selling it to folks in Britain. But it turns out when the settlers got there, they were eaten alive by South American mosquitoes. And unlike the Wisconsin mosquitoes, those ones, they have malaria and yellow fever and some dengue. And then...
I hate malaria.
Right? It's the worst. And this was years before there was the vaccination for it.
Gotta get vaccinated.
Right. For everything. So the few settlers that did manage to get rescued were so thin. They looked like the like skeletons that walked around. Mm. So finally, the guy who gave Greg McGregor the land came back and he took it back. And then old Greg disappeared off into the countryside, probably to change his name and do it again. I suspect he's the one selling that swampland in Florida that I almost bought that one time, or that piece of the Mojave Desert I actually bought. Supposedly it has water on it, you know.
Really? We got to get down there and improve it.
Right? I have been out there looking for that land for close to 20 years now, I think. So.
You got
to
hire a surveyor.
But, you know, don't throw good money after bad.
I bet you could get a surveyor to get out there for about $600.
Yeah, maybe. So as I was studying up on this, I also came across Cassie Chadwick, who told people that she was the niece of Andrew Carnegie. Heard of him?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So this was significant because she asked for loans from various banks. She said she'd pay a really high interest rate, no problem, because all of that inheritance from Andrew Carnegie, who was kind of old at the time, was going to be going to her, and she's happy to pay off that high rate loan. So everybody signed up, and the cool thing was that nobody checked on her because they were afraid to call old Andy up and be embarrassed in front of him on the phone. So they never checked her. And she looked like she was someone who should have that kind of money. So they just gave it to her. Eventually, she got found out. So she managed to round up $5 million in debt, $5 million, which is like $16 trillion in Bitcoin. So she was rich, rich, rich. But she did eventually get caught. And Andrew Carnegie said, well, she's quite attractive young lady, but that no, she is not my niece. She had to go to the Ohio State Penitentiary, but this was 19th century lady jail. So she bought trunks full of clothes and photographs, and she brought all her furniture with her. I'm guessing probably about $5 million. But they never asked for the money back, never once. Cassie Chadwick, hero of mine. Next up, we had David Hampton, who was from Buffalo, New York. And in the 80s, he moved to New York City because if you've ever been to Buffalo, it's good to move as soon as you possibly can. It's cold there. Not as cold as it's about as cold as the dark side of the moon. It's pretty cold there in Buffalo, and there's a lot of snow. But David Hampton would go to all the parties in New York, and he'd try to get into Studio 54. And one time, he and his best friend posed as Gregory Peck's son, and he posed as Sidney Poitier. I can never say that name right. Poitier's son? So they got ushered in, and all the people all around town believed him, and he became a big star, got to go to all the parties, and people like Melanie Griffith and Gary Sinise and Calvin Klein all wined and dined him and took him everywhere. He did that by telling them he was friends with their kids. He just had a great life until, you know, later he got caught and he had to go to jail and they didn't let him keep the money. But he had fun while it lasted. And, you know, that's what really counts.
Unrelated. There's a raven that's been flying around near my house and I want to befriend him with circus peanuts and name him Gregory Peck. I've been talking about this for weeks.
Oh, I hope that works. I love a circus peanut.
Well, I gotta I gotta remember to buy some. Like, I'm gonna.
This is the only time of year you can get them.
Yeah. Well, fresh anyway. You could get them all year round, but they just get harder and harder. And then come August, so you just like you gotta snap them.
Rolled with
you gotta
them.
Get, you gotta put them down on a hard surface and whack it with a mallet, and then you can suck on the pieces. But it never really occurred to me to start telling people that I was the son of a. I could probably convince people that I'm Jason Momoa's son, right?
Right.
By that, I look enough like him.
So I was thinking you might like to buy some of my acreage in California City. I mean, it is nice. And when you look on the Google Maps, it doesn't look like much. But that's because everything is underground.
So I would get like mineral rights and would I own the air?
The whole city is built under there.
Would I own the airspace above?
Definitely.
Yeah, because then like the airlines have to pay me if their plane goes through there. So that's even more money. Okay, let's talk about this.
Right.
After we wrap up.
Right, and you know I can get a loan on like future development because maybe never told you, but Mick Jagger is my dad. Don't tell anyone.
Really.
Yeah, wow. And you know he's kind of old now, so when he goes, that money's all mine. He's sure. Got a lot of kids. So I got tons of money to sink into that under the desert. I think it should be like a mall.
I can kind of see a resemblance in your eyes a little bit. I wouldn't even bring it up to him, though. I mean, I'll take your word for it, because if I brought it up to him and he like started yelling at me, right? He's rich and powerful. He'd make me feel pretty sad. So just...
Right. So good. I'm glad you're in. We just got to sign up like a few hundred more people. It'll be good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know some suckers that we can, I mean, people, family members of mine that I could convince. Sure. Sort of relates to what I've been thinking about.
Oh, do you too have a skunk right outside your window?
Do you have a skunk outside your window?
Oh my God, you can't smell it?
This is an old shirt. I can't smell much, but except for the shirt. My wife's like, you need to wash it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what if it falls apart in there? Then it won't happen anymore.
Yeah, washing is never.
It's got Jason on it.
Look at that.
Camp Crystal Lake.
How many days have you been wearing it?
I don't measure things in days, but yeah, about 4 weeks. No, we get the odd skunk wandering through our yard and sometimes like if I forget to close the garage door, all of a sudden the garage door lights on and now I need to know. I can't just close it now. Like the next time I open it is gonna be me loading up my kid to take him to school, so now I have to go and clear the garage and make sure that there is not a skunk in there waiting to spray me and my son first thing in the morning, because that's going to wreck the whole day. Everyone's going to be like, oh, why'd you bring him to school? Why are you here at work?
Yeah, I made the mistake of putting some grocery store fried chicken into the garbage so I wouldn't eat it. Mm. You know, it's a diet. It's a diet I'm on. You buy the food and then you look at it for a while and then you throw it away so you won't eat it. So I did that, and then I think animals have decided to live in the garbage can because smells delicious. Fried chicken is the best, and I'm not getting it out of the trash can. That would be a step too far, especially after a skunk, probably a raccoon, has chewed on it.
Well, it's a one-way trip to the garbage can. When it goes in, you're not going to like go back out to the street and take it back out. You know. But what you can do... is you got a big tree in your front yard, right?
Right.
So you throw a rope over that one of those branches and hoist that garbage up in the air.
Oh, and then when the Santa Ana winds come and start mm-hmm. blowing it, it'll all end in that one neighbor's yard. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would make me so happy. I'm going to do that.
I really don't know why you wouldn't or why you're not doing it right now, but I suppose... Who's that little boy that keeps walking past behind you?
Don't say that.
He's got his head down. Doesn't really look up, but he keeps walking past.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is this our Halloween episode? I think it is.
No.
Are we going to record again before Halloween?
We don't believe in Halloween.
What I believe.
The chair. Now you got me scared.
I believe in candy, specifically candy corn. I know a lot of people are like, oh, candy corn's the worst. Well, I'll tell you what, motherfuckers. Candy corn's the best. I will fight you.
Corn.
That's right. You gotta jam it up on your teeth. and get candy corn vampire fangs, and then you go around. Yeah.
Right? And have you had the turkey dinner ones? Oh my God.
There's turkey dinner ones?
Yeah, you get one that's flavored like gravy, and there's one that's like apple pie, and there's one that tastes like turkey. And unfortunately, the turkey and the apple pie are the same color.
I can say with confidence, I have never heard of candy corn being flavored anything other than regular. You start bringing out gravy flavored candy, I gotta assume you got it from China.
I think I know what's gonna be in your Christmas package.
Hooray! It'll be like Thanksgiving all year long. Oh, and speaking of, that reminds me, this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Dr. Haywood's Nine Penis Wine. The healing power of three penis wine tripled. That's Dr. Haywood's Nine Penis Wine. It's not just for breakfast anymore. I got a case of that on the way. So I'll let you know. You'll find out when it arrives and I chug it all. So I have been filled with rage lately. I think that's unrelated to this, though. Tonight, I wanted to talk about revenge a little bit.
I love revenge.
Sometimes it doesn't have to be for a real offense. It could be for an imagined offense.
Definitely.
Or maybe the offending party doesn't have any idea that they did anything wrong. And that's the best of all. Well, the first one I wanted to talk about is Pierre Picard. I'm not sure about French pronunciations. Is it Picot? It's P-I-C-A-U-D. So I think it's Picard.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, I'm just going to call him Pierre. So his tale inspired the Count of Monte Cristo. Alexander Dumas apparently based his novel on police reports of old Pierre. So what happened was his friends betray him, turn him in as an English spy, which he doesn't seem like he was. Then in prison, he digs into the next cell where he befriends an old rich priest. The priest tells Pierre where he hid his treasure over in Milan. I guess that's in Italy.
Why was the priest in jail?
Unclear. The priest tells Pierre where he hid his treasure over in Milan. And then the French government collapses. Pierre gets out. He goes to Milan, gets the loot, and then he heads back to Paris. There, he spends the next 10 years plotting against his shitball friends who were jealous of him for being on such an awesome trajectory and having a lady that he loved and stuff. So he lets two of them off easy and he just kills them, or possibly hired somebody else to kill them, but whatever. They're dead. But the last one, Lupien is his name, and he married Pierre's fiance. He was, I guess, the ringleader.
That sounds like that word for wolf.
Maybe, but it's spelled L-O-U-P-I-A-N. Lupien, he's married Pierre's fiance. And you know who else Pierre murdered? It was his own conscience, because the last phase of the plan is to utterly destroy Lupien's whole situation in icy, gut-wrenching ways, full-on Heisenberg. We're talking about leaving him just completely broken, penniless, one kid dead, one kid imprisoned, and horrible things that Pierre unleashed on Lupien. And, you know, did he have it coming? I don't know. It sounds like it. I guess it wasn't there, but whatever.
So I want to know more about this priest.
Well, I think we all do. Was he?
Why was he in jail? Where did he get the money? Why didn't he go with him to get his money back? Many questions I have about this priest.
Same.
I think there's a whole other story there.
Yeah, I would hope.
I hope there's even more revenge.
Yeah. Hope he wasn't one of those kind of priests, you know what I mean? Hiding money in Italy and hanging out in a French prison. I don't know if he's babysitter material. So, Kate, you're sitting there. You're drinking your whiskey. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, surely, Brent, humans are the only creatures that take revenge. Well, Kate, that is where you are mistaken.
I know, Brent, because I have three dogs.
Well, according to none other than Wikipedia herself, there are several species, such as camels, elephants, fish, lions, crows, and many species of primates that have been recognized to seek revenge. Primatologists Franz De Waal and Leslie Letrelov conducted numerous studies that provide evidence of revenge in many species of primates. For example, in one of their studies, if Andy the chimp helped Banjo the chimp defeat his opponent Clyde the chimp, then Clyde would be more likely to help somebody who's out to get Andy in a later squabble. So chimpanzees are the most common species that show revenge due to their desire for dominance, but studies have also been performed on less cognitive species like fish to demonstrate that not only intellectual animals engage in revenge behavior, Kate.
What does fish do to another fish?
I don't know. Imagine it bites it or something. Whacks it with its tail or some shit. Some of them got those spikes.
Remembers it for a very long time.
There's an angler fish and it whacks them with the little light on the head. So whacks them. Oh, hey, that was my eye, you fuck. Oh, yes. And that does remind me that I have a book idea to pitch you when we're done recording about a vengeance-seeking clam, a working title, Clam Venge. I can send you some sample chapters. I have quite a bit of it written already. It could use some editing, I think, but...
Clam Venge.
Yeah.
I can see the cover right now.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, the stuff of nightmares. One last little revenge nugget. Literature's second greatest tale of revenge, eclipsed only by Revenge of the Nerds. I must be talking about Edgar Allan Poe's classic, The Cask of Amontillado. Buckle up, Kate, because we are about to go down a fucking rabbit hole. Because
that's something we've never done before.
This is a big stinky onion, and things get messed up quick, and they only get stranger. You remember what happened in Cask of Amontillado?
Sure.
Montresor, he's got it's Carnival, and he's got his pal Fortunato. And he's like, oh, Fortunato, I got this hundreds of gallons of Amontillado, and I got this dude, fancy wine connoisseur, coming to tell me how good it is and what it's worth and stuff. And Fortunato's like, no. You want me to try it and tell you how good it is and love some Amontillado. And he's like, oh, no, I got this guy coming. He's like, no, come on, Montresor, take me. So he's like, all right, well, it's down here in these catacombs. Like, yeah, let's go get it. All right, well, no, come on, let's not. No, let's go. So... leading him down there, and he gets him down there, and he shackles him to a wall, and then he bricks him up, and before he puts the last brick in, he drops a torch in there with the guy, and then he seals him up. Well, pretty dark. So what did Fortunato do to Montresor that was so bad? And I started with a light Googling, nothing major. I was not wearing my special computer hat or anything. And top results for the question are all things like Fortunato insulted Montresor's family, Montresor was mentally ill, or they're both assholes and we just got sick of the other one's shit, kind of stuff. The only clue is when Montresor says, the 1,000 injuries of Fortunato I had borne as best I could, but when he ventured upon insult, I vowed revenge. So Poe's being vague about the reason, and it seemed to me, and that's kind of lazy for a guy like Poe. I started asking, do I believe Poe is lazy that he just didn't I didn't get around to thinking of a reason why this happened, or he just wanted to leave it out as kind of a, let your imagination do the work or whatever. Do I believe that vagueness was just a cute literary trick to help set the mood? Was it something deeper? I had one of those moments, Kate.
Yeah.
You know the kind.
Yeah, I do.
It's the moment you know you're onto something, and I put on my special computer hat. And I started clacking on those keys. So what do I know about Poe? That's where I started. Well, I know he was 5'8" tall. Is that significant? It might be. We might circle back to that. He grew up in Boston. He partied himself out of college. He rose through the ranks in the army under a phony name. He got kicked out of West Point on purpose later. He wrote some really messed up junk. And I kept coming back to West Point. I knew that there was something there. So I got looking at who he would have been attending West Point with. And I don't know, how about a man named Humphrey Marshall? Does that ring a bell? Later known as General Humphrey Marshall, who fought for the goddamn Confederacy. He was at West Point the same time as Poe. Humphrey's father was a judge and a legislator. His grandfather was a U.S. senator. The guy was born connected and wealthy. Some would say fortunate, almost fortunato. Now, Poe, being a powerful observer of human behavior, may very well have noticed something like this. I can't prove this yet, but I have a theory that Poe also noticed some other flaws in Humphrey Marshall's character, like the man was just waiting for a chance to betray his country. So Poe, trying to signal society at large, creates the character Fortunato and has Montressor bury him alive behind a wall as if to say, look, this is what you're supposed to do with these assholes before they form a giant Confederacy and kill, hundreds of thousands of Americans in a civil war. But Poe died well before the rise of the Confederacy, no doubt murdered by men who would go on to try and overthrow the government of the great United States of America. And they're like, oh, geez, he died from this or that or whatever, and he had lesions on his brain and whatever. Yeah. Is any of that true? Because all we ever know about it is...
That's a kill, yeah.
We also can't forget that General Humphrey Marshall sucked. The Confederates got their asses hammered all over the map, but Marshall got his ass hammered a lot, like way more than most. He was one of the biggest failures of the Confederacy, which itself was a huge dumb failure. I have a related theory that the creator of the kids' show Paw Patrol is this guy named Keith Chapman. I have a theory that he knows all about this stuff, and he puts it in the show. He hides it in there in the kids' show, right? Is one of the dogs, Marshall, the fireman dog, the little Dalmatian pup, is a total fuck up. He only ever seems to make things worse for the other pups who are trying to like do a rescue or whatever. So if we watch Paw Patrol through the lens of the Cask of Amontillado, there's an obvious Montressor, the kid, the leader, Ryder, is in charge of these pups.
Obvious.
So we can see from the beginning that Marshall should be walled off and left to die alone in the dark for the good of the community and the other pups, especially. And I think the show is basically Ryder, aka Montressor, struggling with that decision. And I also think that it's probably how they'll end the show when the money toilet stops flushing for Nickelodeon, that they'll conclude the series with Ryder burying Marshall alive. You know, Nickelodeon doesn't respond to any emails other than to say, oh, we're forwarding this to the FBI. Blah. What the fuck ever, Nickelodeon? Because Ryder's going to bury a Dalmatian puppy alive. Humphrey Marshall was a traitor, and Poe may have had Nostradamus-like powers of divination. I could verify a lot of this if I could get my hands on Poe's skull. So we're going to have to circle back on this in a month or so.
Baltimore, you know, just need a shovel.
They got those motion lights over there now. So after the last couple times, I think they may have moved him. So I got to find some stuff out before I'm really ready to go crazy on the project. But the truth is out there. That's from X-File.
Yeah, I recognized it right away.
Before I forget.
Yeah.
And this portion of the podcast is brought to you by the Rainbird Group. It's that wacky, shadowy cabal that secretly controls. Oops, already said too much. That's the Rainbird Group. Don't look for us. Don't ask about us. Don't piss us off.
Welcome.
Yeah. So you got any Omnium Gatherum news to drop on us?
Well, we have two books coming out this Saturday. The first one is called The No One by Camille Exon, a really great tale of a baby born into the world with a lot of trouble coming his way. So make sure to find that one. And then we have Kiss of Life, which is by Gene O'Neill and Gord Rollo. It's the tale of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. There's some secret knowledge not everyone knows about them. This is a fun romp through the Western tale with many secrets revealed. So both of those coming out on Saturday. It's going to be good.
Okay. Yeah. I have an engagement Saturday, but I'll be back in the evening. So I don't know if I'll have some signed paperbacks in my mailbox by then or...
Possibly. I hear you might be speaking with one of the Omnium Gatherum authors soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting with my old pal Eddie Generous next week sometime about his new book, Hetty, which I have not had a chance to read yet, but I've heard some amazing things about it. I always like talking to Eddie.
I've read it. It's pretty good. Some you can enjoy it. And it's pretty scary. Some scary, scary things happen.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, there he goes again. That little boy behind you. He's quick. We could have Camille and the other two stop by sometime. I'd like to talk to Gene. I haven't had a chance to talk to him since StokerCon back in, I was on the Queen Mary last time I talked to him, I think.
Wow, that was many years ago.
He wasn't at...
But yeah, Gene and Gord are a lot of fun to chat with, and Camille. Camille's a lot of... Yeah, we should invite everyone over, but we can't talk about books on this because it's against the rules.
Well, they do stuff other than books.
That's right. We just have to talk about life.
Now, Gene's got a lot of good stories.
And crime and revenge.
You know where there's some good revenge happening is on the silver screen this weekend. Dune. I'm fired up to see Dune.
You going alone?
I don't know if I'm going to get to go at all. Did you watch Squid Game, though?
I did. First three episodes so far.
How do you feel about it so far?
I want to know what happens next. Also, I would completely play and win because I like money.
You think you'd win, though? That's interesting.
I think I would.
Huh.
Well, why wouldn't you? Why would you play if you aren't going to win?
I don't know. I mean, there really are like a lot of winners. Like most of the contestants, after episode three, pretty much everybody makes it through. So, especially the characters that you care about the most, they all get through.
No, don't
and
say.
And they get rich, and their lives are better.
Great lives, yeah.
They can take care of their families. When I first saw like the first handful of promo images for Squid Game. Like I just saw the images and there was the big lady from Red Light, Green Light with the guys in the pink suits with the shapes on their masks standing next to her. I thought like, wow, this has really got a surreal thing to it. It's like the stuff of nightmares. Like I was really hoping that it was going to be more of a surreal and strange thing. And then it was just a game show. I'm like, damn it. But it was still good. I was just hoping for something much more bizarre. I guess they just don't make shows like that for me.
I think there might have been some many years ago, but I couldn't name them for you or make a recommendation, so I should just keep my mouth shut.
Who directed Eraserhead?
That was, oh man, why'd you ask me like that? The guy who does the weather reports.
Wes Craven.
No.
But no, Wes Craven directed Eraserhead. That's a fact. Yep. People don't agree. They can send their letters and I'll fucking crumple them up. I'm not gonna read that shit. It was Wes Craven.
Wes Craven did the one with the zombies, right?
No,
the zombies in Haiti. Yeah, that was him.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
We started watching movies that made us. And we watched the one about aliens and I couldn't sleep that night just laying there thinking about the making of aliens. And then I dreamed about it. And then like I woke up like an hour before or half hour before my alarm went off and just laid there thinking about the making of the movie Aliens.
Did you prefer Alien or the one that stuck an S on it and called it a new movie?
I think I like Alien better. There is a lot of cool stuff that happens in Aliens, but for me, Alien is a little scary. The man himself, H.R. Giger, doing creature effects. Nobody ever seen nothing like that before.
Right. And
do I think someday Sigourney Weaver is going to call up and be like, hey, you know, why don't you come and spend the summer with me on my yacht? I don't know. It probably won't ever happen. But if she did call up, I'd have some stuff to think about. I don't know. I'm sure my wife would understand. Like, wow, Sigourney Weaver, you better go.
Right? Who would say no?
Steve Bannon. he'll be busy. Sorry. We don't talk about politics on here.
No, we don't.
That's not politics. That's just crime. It's true crime.
Crime. We do talk about true crime, though. Definitely.
And con men. I think with a con like that, the first thing you have to do is, much like our friend Pierre, is you have to just straight up kill your conscience and just decide that it doesn't matter what I do now, I'm not going to feel bad about anything.
Do you think those are real, the conscience? People talk about them like it's a real thing. I don't think it's real.
Well, to go up and
like a little voice, don't do the bad thing. There's no little voice in your head that says that.
There sure is, because you go up and you're like, this person is not very intelligent and I could part them with their money very easily. I got a really good story. I could lie to them and I could trick them and get their money and leave town. But you don't, because you know it's wrong, Kate. You know it's wrong.
It's not that I fear prison.
Who's going to catch you, you know? Fleecing some sweet, senile old lady.
Killing a hobo? Who would know?
The hobo would for like a minute. I don't know if that's the terminology anymore.
Oh, right. Lost people? What do you call them?
Bones
in the desert?
Yeah, desert bones. But there's the real traditional hobo culture that I find deeply fascinating. You know, a lot of inspiration for Chuggy came out of that kind of stuff. Like when I was first writing Chuggy, I was on like the Hobo Hall of Fame or whatever website that they had, and it was like listing all the hobo kings and hobo queens going way back, and like all the great hobo names, and like, you know, just Steam Train Jim, and you know,
right? We might be moving into a new era of that, so got that to look forward to. What's your hobo name going to be like for when they come take your house back, burn it for firewood?
I don't know, Revenge Guy Pierre, maybe.
I like it, yeah. You could rig up your car, get a katana.
Yes. Well, what I could do is get a motorcycle that has katanas that like you hit a button and they like flip out. So they're like wings, but instead of flying away, I just cut people in half on the sidewalk. You gotta
the life to live. Yeah.
You gotta duck down, you gotta roll. You see a katana motorcycle coming at you. Oh, you know, or maybe jump.
If the world ever turns out that I have to use a sword or I have to jump or roll or even climb a hill, I'm just going to die. And I probably won't respawn back at the start. I'll be done.
They're doing some really cool stuff with those rascals these days. You know, I'm not going to say that this was our worst episode, but it certainly was our best. What if jellyfish get revenge?
That they do.
You know who else got revenge is Montezuma. We didn't get into that. Damn it.
Shame.
Why are you waving your finger at me like that?
Because we should wrap up, because it's been an hour.
Oh my God. I knew you were going to do it. Oh. Well, before that, I would like to take this moment to remind our one listener to support independent authors and publishers. Buy their books, leave reviews, and if you get bored enough, you can even read them. Thank you for listening to Destroy the Files and setting sail with us on a high-flying train ride into the imagination.
Hi, I'm Kate. Good evening.
And I'm Brent. Now is the time of the podcast when we say good night.
Good night. This was significant.
Hall of Fame. Oh, is this our Halloween episode? I think it is.
No.